When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary on a wild day in the National Hockey League. Trades galore. We'll break them all down, plus preview what's left. We also get ready for UFC 299. If you're looking for a bit more Flames talk, you can see behind me, I did Blasty Banter. That will be coming out basically around the same time as you get this. As always, thank you so much for tuning in today. A lot to get to on this show, so let's get into it and talk some hockey. So, all of that happened today. This has been a wild trade deadline day. If you're looking for a Flames, trade primer, like I said, Blasty Banter on this channel, whether you're listening or watching, that is available as you are tuning in to this one. So I just want to make sure I get the details right, because the Henrique trade happened after I took my notes down. So let's see if we can find, not on their phone app, because why would it be? Let's pull up the Adam Henrique trade, because that I think is the big one of the day, as it affects one of the prominent Canadian teams, and also is one of the bigger names that has been moved. It's a multi-team trade that makes it really annoying to figure out on the fly. But basically, it is Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick to the Edmonton Oilers in multiple moves made today. But Henrique isn't going to cost the Oilers a whole lot due to salary cap retention and blah, 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 blah. So yes, it is going to add $1.8 million in salary cap space, or taken up by Adam Henrique, who 50% retained, and then another bit retained in all of that as well. But for Henrique, 18 goals, 24 assists this year off of a 22-goal campaign with the Ducks a season ago. He fits, I think, right in with this Edmonton Oilers team. It's weird to think of a team with McDavid and Draisaitl and all of that as a team lacking in the offensive department, but this is a team that needed some depth scoring, when especially if they're going to put Draisaitl and McDavid together, which they have been doing. This is a team that needed some depth. Matthias Janmark was a top six forward on this team, and so Adam Henrique gives you just a whole lot of what you would need right now. He can play down the middle. He can play over on the left wing side. It is a big boost for this Edmonton team. And we knew they were going for it. Obviously, they were going to go for it. But now they have kind of made their big splash. And Edmonton does give up a 2024 fifth, a 2024 first, 2025 fifth, and a 2025 fourth in there as well. So there is, it's a pretty penny to go out and acquire Adam Henrique. Sam Carrick, also involved in the trade, again, can play down the middle, can play over on the right side. Just 8 goals and 3 assists this season, so a bit more of a depth option. But still, I think it's a good move for the Edmonton Oilers. This was one of the big names out on the market. His ability to play down the middle or over on the wing gives them a bit of versatility in the lineup. If they want to put him with one of the big two, with McDavid and Draisaitl, they can. If they want to put those two guys on the same line, you can put Henrique as your number two center, Nuge as your number three, and you're feeling pretty good about yourselves. So this is, I think, an excellent move here for the Edmonton Oilers. Do I trust the goaltending long term? I do not. Do I trust everything they have going on that blue line? I do not. But this makes them better, and they are competing in a ridiculously competitive Pacific Division right now with Vancouver, LA, and Vegas. They're going to have to play two of those teams probably in the first two rounds of the playoffs. That is going to be tricky, and it's going to require a lot of scoring, and Adam Henrik can help out with that. On an Anaheim side of things, I mean, getting a first-round pick plus a conditional pick in this deal, I think makes a whole lot of sense for them. They're still a couple years away, it feels like. They still have Zegras out there. We'll see if that is a move that gets made. But this is one of the better returns that we have seen for a forward so far. So the Anaheim Ducks, I think, should feel really good about this particular trade. Moving on. Yesterday, it was the Vegas Golden Knights going out and acquiring Anthony Mantha. Mantha with 20 goals this season. At 50% retained, he costs $2.85 million. Basically, like, this is the shooting percentage is very high for him this year, but this is a guy who can absolutely put the puck in the net, and again, just kind of strengthens Vegas's depth at the forward position. That they've had some injuries here throughout the season and have had quite a few players step up, so now this makes this team even more dangerous. They don't give up a ton in this trade. It's a second round pick next year and a fourth round pick in 26, so this is a no-brainer to me for Vegas. Like, he's big body, doesn't use it in a big body way all the time, but is good enough that, again, when the games start to matter, he is going to be able to get to some of those tough areas and be able to get some big goals for this team. He's not going to be called upon to be a 20-goal guy, even though he has done that this season. Like I said, the shooting percentage is insanely high, but if he is going to be someone who would just be on like a 10 to 15 pace on this team, it works. And so it bumps up the talent level for Vegas. For Washington, it sucks that this year hasn't really worked out all that well, and it's a bit of a bummer for people my age that Pittsburgh Washington is kind of limping to the finish here in what was a once great rivalry. So we'll see if either side can kind of get the nose up on this thing a little bit here in the next year or two. Florida Panthers getting Vlad Tarasenko. They acquire him at 50% retained for a 2025 third and a 2024 fourth that becomes a third if the Panthers end up winning the Stanley Cup. For Tarasenko, he had a full no trade, so there wasn't a whole lot that Ottawa can do in this one. 17 goals, 24 assists this season. This has been a tough year out in Ottawa, and now he immediately goes onto a second line with Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk. With the playmaking ability and the vision that Matthew Tkachuk has, this is a phenomenal ad for the St. Louis Blues. It's a guy with a ton of playoff experience, one of the true, even still with just 17 goals this season, one of the true finishers in the National Hockey League. He, I think, is going to score some really big goals for the Florida Panthers this upcoming season. On the Ottawa side, they were in a really tough spot. With the full no trade, they basically had one spot they could send him to. So to get a couple of picks out of this one feels like a bit of a win. Like, it is a really underwhelming return for Ottawa, but understanding the situation, that this is what you put yourselves in. Pierre Dorion putting them in, but this is the situation that they are in right now with that full no trade. The Colorado Avalanche make a couple of moves today. First, they go out and acquire Sean Walker. He gets acquired along with a 2026 fifth for Ryan Johansson and a 2025 first. That first is top 10 protected. For Walker, 6 goals, 16 points, or 16 assists this season, but 54% Corsi and 55% expected goal percentage. He is, I think, one of the more underrated defensemen that we have in the NHL, and he's going to one of the best defensive teams in the league. And now this is a Colorado Avalanche team that can have a very skilled defenseman, not that they really didn't before, but have, like, 1 through 6, one of the best decors in the National Hockey League. And they are going to be extremely difficult to play against here in the postseason. For Ryan Johansson, it hasn't really worked basically at all, right? Like, he was a player that had so much promise, and he scores 33 goals early in his career, doesn't get back to the 20 goal mark really until two seasons ago when he scored 26 with Nashville, but since then he has 25 in 2 years. Like, it hasn't really clicked. It didn't really click in Colorado this year. So we'll see what the next act is for Ryan Johansson's career. But I mean, getting a potential first round pick for the Philadelphia Flyers in this move for a guy who's probably going to leave at the end of the year is, I think, a very good bit of business here for Philadelphia. Colorado also making a move, sending Bowen Byram to the Buffalo Sabres in exchange for Casey Mittelstadt. Mittelstadt has already been in the league like 7 years. It's crazy. Mittelstadt, 14 goals, 33 assists this season, while Byram, 8 goals, 12 assists, and all the possession numbers for both, right around 50%, if not slightly on the negative side of that. This one, I admit I have kind of underrated Casey Mittelstadt just playing out in Buffalo. I don't think, he kind of felt like one of those, like, well, there was some buzz around him and now it hasn't really clicked, but still, like, 14 goals, 33 assists this season, that's not terrible numbers for him. And he goes on a team where he's not going to be relied on a ton out in Colorado, but I think, again, kind of stretches this lineup out a little bit. I think this is amazing return for Buffalo to go out and acquire a Bowen Byram, who has certainly had his injury issues, but has certainly also shown that he can play this game at an extremely high level. And he's not, well, we'll see how they use him, but they have a lot of good defensemen out in Buffalo anyway. So this one, I think, is a really, really smart move for Buffalo. The thing that interests me on the Colorado side of this is that with both of these moves, they freed up cap space. They don't have a ton, but they still have $3 million that they can play with going into the next couple of days here for trade season. Let's see what they end up doing. I don't think Colorado is done. They don't need to do a ton, but with how salaries are being retained, like, that can be a $6 million, maybe even like an $8 million player if it goes through all the right channels that you need it to. So I wonder if Colorado is done and if they have one other move to make here coming up in the next couple of days. So assuming no one's been traded since I started recording this, that is, oh, also Wennberg got traded for a second and a fourth. You kind of talked about him on the show the other day. I like this for the Rangers. He is someone who it's like, man, this guy, it feels like he should be more than what his stats have shown. And the Rangers have shown that they're able to get a lot out of those guys. I don't know if enough people are talking about the Rangers right now as a team that can be a real legitimate threat in the East. Like, it feels like they get thrown in almost just like, oh yeah, and the Rangers are there as well. No, the Rangers are there as well. And this is a really smart move from them making that one. And for the Kraken, like, they could be really interesting here in the next couple of days because they have a lot of talent that they could move. And they could really kind of shift the dynamic of this season if they, if the right team sparks a deal here with the Seattle Kraken. So I think a really, really interesting day and a bit still to come. In terms of things from the Flames side, like I said, I kind of previewed it on Blasty Banter, but for Calgary, Hanifin and Markstrom are the two big ones, two absolute game changers. If they get moved, the team that gets either of them is in a significantly better spot. Like, those are two guys who could shift the balance in the NHL, and there aren't a ton of guys like that right now. Other things that kind of watching at this point, the thing that's really interesting to me about this season is that there isn't like an obvious Cup favorite right now, right? Like, we talked about the Canucks a couple of weeks ago as a team that needs to be taken seriously. Just off the top, just writing these down, these are teams that I could see win the Cup this year. Boston, the Rangers, the Devils, Tampa Bay, Florida, Toronto, Vancouver, Vegas, Edmonton, Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg. All, I think, could legit, if we see them hoisting the Cup at the end of the season, I don't think it's going to be, man, just didn't see that coming. It's crazy. Like, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 teams. You could 16 make the playoffs. So, A, it's going to be wildly disappointing for a lot of these teams when, like, just based on math, most of them aren't going to win the Stanley Cup. So we have a season where so many have the opportunity to, but so many will also feel that it is a disappointment when they don't. And so many of them have obvious needs that they kind of need to address. Boston's looking for another defenseman, and while players have played well, I think still needs a number one center. The Rangers, I think, could use a little bit more depth on both sides, and that they pick up some good with Wennberg. The Devils, if they get a goalie, this team could win the Stanley Cup. That is how good they are offensively. Probably need another defenseman too. But still, if they get that, if they make the Calgary connection work, this could be a team that could win the Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay, I don't know if there's like they need a defenseman with Sergachev being out. Obviously, they're in on Noah Hanifin. I think they could use a touch more scoring as well. For Florida, they go out and make the move for Vlad Tarasenko, but they still have some holes that they could fill up. I'm not going to go through every team, but on down the line, all of these teams have different holes that they need to plug here in the next 48 hours or so. So it makes this trade deadline, I think, so fascinating. And the other, I think, big storyline that's kind of developed here in the last 48 hours or so is Jacob Chychrun available? Because that could be another game changer out on the blue line, because someone's going to be missing out on a Noah Hanifin. Where does Jacob Chychrun land in all of this, if he lands anywhere outside of Ottawa? So things getting really, really really interesting right now in trade season. Just a reminder, you can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK, and you can email the show, CouchPotatoDiary@yahoo.com. Make sure you subscribe and like here on YouTube, and make sure you subscribe and leave a review over on wherever you're getting your podcast. All right, it is UFC 299 Fight Week. Let's look at the non-main event fighters who you really should be paying attention to this weekend. UFC 299 goes down this weekend, and while we went through the key storylines in the main and co-main, there are some really, really fascinating fights and fighters coming up on the undercard for this, so let's take a look. The first one is MVP, Michael Venom Page, making his UFC debut, a star in Bellator, put a hole in a dude's head with his knee. He is extremely violent, he is extremely talented, and he is extremely interesting in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And now he gets this giant stage. I think it is so fascinating. He's going up against a fighter in Holland who you have to, like, absolutely mind your P's and Q's against this guy, but also, if he is what he was in Bellator, he should be able to win this one. So it's a really interesting fight coming up here on Saturday. But to get this opportunity, it was a big splash, I thought, for the Ultimate Fighting Championship to get him. And now a chance to have another legitimate star in your ranks coming out of Saturday. Jack Della Maddalena, I think, is very, very, very fascinating. He is a fast rising prospect, getting a really good shot here against a very good fighter in Gilbert Burns. Della Maddalena, he was one of the guys who kind of felt like he was being... It feels like he's been overlooked a little bit, but there is a lot of talent in this particular fighter going up against Gilbert Burns, who, again, if you can beat Gilbert Burns, you belong in that kind of penthouse of contenders in this division. If you can't, then you're back to just being a prospect and maybe not a lot of buzz around you. So a very interesting fork in the road moment here for Jack Della Maddalena coming up on Saturday night. Piotr Jan against Song Yadong, two very good fighters. This one... Like, I don't know, storyline-wise, how much there is on this one. Both got, like, the winner of this will be closer to a title shot. And maybe if a couple things break right, maybe do get a title shot. Probably not. But I'm just excited as hell for this fight. That this should be, I think it's the pay-per-view opener. This should be such an intriguing, such an amazing fight to watch between these two. And just one of the things that really gets you excited coming up on Saturday. Also, Almeida, he's taking on Curtis Blaydes. A bit of a prospect in the heavyweight division, and someone who some people are clamoring for to get some opportunities closer to a title shot. If you beat Curtis Blaydes, once again, you get there. So there's quite a few on this card where, with all due respect to Holland, and to Burns and to Blaydes, but it feels like there's gatekeepers going on here right now. And we're testing out a few of our prospects and seeing, like, okay, what do you got? How, like, are you ready for a title fight? Are you ready for a contender fight? We will see Saturday with a few of very interesting prospects in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And the last one is Macy Barber. She has been on a bit of a roll. She's coming off of another strong showing, and another one here gets her right into the title picture. So Macy Barber is a prospect who there have been some ups and some downs, but we're certainly on an up right now. And I'd be very interested to see what she is able to do coming up this weekend. All right, that is going to do it for Couch Potato Diary. One more time, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. If you are listening in podcast form, make sure that you subscribe and leave a review. If you want more talk on the Calgary Flames, Toronto Raptors, or Toronto Blue Jays, there are team-specific podcasts available on this feed. Wherever you are consuming this, it is there as well. The Catalan Autocast, Blasty Banter, and Dynamite. We will have a couple of more coming out as early as next week. So stay tuned for all of that. You find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. And you can email couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. Also, facebook.com/couchpotatodiary. Coming up tomorrow, we'll see if any more trades break. And if anything does during the day, I will likely go live on twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. So that should be a whole lot of fun, breaking everything down throughout the day. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will talk to all of you later.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.